time.
Oh, cause me to drink from thy river, O Lord. Cause me to drink from thy river, O Lord. Oh, cause me to drink from thy river.
This evening, Heavenly Father, we're thirsty for you tonight, Lord, and it's you that's drawing us, Lord. We thank you, Lord, for putting that in our hearts, Lord, to draw each one here tonight and online, Lord, to that river of life that flows from the throne of God freely for us, Lord. We thank you, Father, for that, Lord, and we just invite you to come, Lord. Oh God, have your way tonight in the service. Thank you, Father, that it's a promise, Lord, that we shall be filled. Those that hunger and thirst after righteousness, Lord, feed your children, Lord. May we go away, Lord, full and overflowing onto others, Lord. The blessings you have for us tonight, Lord, and that you just reveal yourself, Lord. Open our eyes as we would let you break this bread, Father, of the word. Please, Lord, just may our eyes be opened, oh God. So many things, Lord, maybe we don't understand for years and years, Lord. Open it up to us tonight, Lord, in your season and in your time, Lord. Open it up to me, Lord. I need you so much, Father, and I know each one here as well, Lord. Have your way in the service, Lord. You do miracles, you're supernatural, Lord. We expect great things from a great God, Lord. We thank you, Father. We commit each one and each one's soul here this evening in Jesus Christ's name. We ask. Amen. Thank you, musicians. You may be seated. God bless each one of you. Good to see each one of you. Good to be in the house of the Lord tonight. So thankful for my wife staying home with the kids. It really helps when I can drive down and be able to just have some quiet time and to be able to just get where I need to be in the channel for the Lord. Boy, the world is just dark. You can feel it, can't you? And what's so neat about it is that because we're looking up, we're not looking down, right? Who's looking down? Anybody? Well, I'm here tonight to encourage you to look up and to know that as we just keep feeling, I know each one of you feel this, how many feel that God is preparing us for something. You can feel this. It's like as you get closer to a junction or to a gateway or to the next corner, you can feel it's coming. It's exciting. There's anticipation because I was thinking about how everything in the negative, there's something happening in the positive. Praise God. So Satan's preparing his army. He's preparing his false narrative. And he's becoming more apparent and more transparent of who he actually is to his followers. And we're seeing it so much more manifesting time for his people. How much more the people of God? I believe it's the same, and more, because that's this. Whatever Satan's challenge is, we are equipped for each one of those challenges, and we're equipped in this day. Amen. Amen. Well, I am just so excited tonight to take a little thought on identity and knowing who we are tonight. How many just want to know who you are a little bit more in Christ tonight? I know I do. I'm just tapping into this and just know enough to just start unlocking the beginnings of this, and it's just wonderful. And so I just pray that you'll see it with open eyes from the Lord to understand and know who each one of us is. If you have your Bibles, let's just stand and let's go to Isaiah 61 right away. And this is one of our favorite scriptures, I know, for each one of you. It's our manifesto of who we are because His Spirit dwells in us. And let's just read from verse 1. And this is our identity. This is who we are because it's who He is. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He hath sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to them that are bound. To proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all that mourn. Oh, you can just feel His heart. Having His Spirit, it's just that punctuation comes through every time I read this. He's saying, yes, this is me. This is me through you. To appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, let's just read that last part together, that they may be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that He might be glorified. And let's just ask the Lord's blessing. Heavenly Father, Lord, just give us Your heart tonight, we pray. Lord, give us Your character, Your name, Lord, Your becoming one in us, Lord, we pray. In Jesus Christ's name, amen. You may be seated. Praise God. Oh my. So, just want to give you an overview of where I'm going, especially on a Wednesday night, because I don't want you halfway through saying to each other, oh, do we know where He's going? I don't know where He's going. Do you remember what He was talking about at the beginning? So, here's where we're going. What is identity? What is the definition of identity? What is the progression of becoming an identity, of becoming someone? And this is really good for the youth too as well, because we are born not knowing who we are. We know what we are, you know, as far as we're flesh and blood. Derek's kind of still thinking about that. Is that we see this, and I'm sure your mind is just thinking about many things. There's a progression to becoming an identity. And then how that we can have a perverted identity. That's another thing we'll talk about as well. We can also have, the most important thing is to find our true identity. Praise God. So we see our becoming, our progression, how that we can go down the wrong road and take a false identity. But thank God that for His sovereignty to give us His identity. His grace, that's right. His unmerited favor, because it's not us finding out who we are on our own in Him. It's Him doing it. Praise God in His wonderful grace. And then just to see examples through Scripture and through people. And I'm going to ask for some congregation or participation, and just for you to think of also different people that you can tell they knew who they were in Scripture as well as in the kingdom of God through the ages. And to just see the condition of the world and their identity as well. So let's just dive right in, because that's probably enough for about 3 hours worth of content. So we will stay on task by the grace of God. So the definition in the dictionary for identity is the fact of being who or what a person or a thing is. That's very broad. But it's a fact of being who or what a person or thing is. So I want you to put your spiritual helmets on and just think about this spiritually, because our identity is in Christ. That's where we're going. It's our character, our inner core of us, that drives everything we do. It's the distinguishing character or personality of an individual. The relation established by psychological identification, the condition of being the same with something described or asserted, the sameness of essential or generic character in different instances, and the last one is sameness in all that constitutes the objective reality of the thing. And it's also oneness. So it's an individuality, but it's an identification in something as well. And it's amazing, because as you start going down the rabbit hole of identity, you start going into things like identity crisis. And it's amazing, because it's such an interesting thing in this. Just wanted to go with why do we care? We know in the exposition of the seven church ages, we all know the quote. And it says, "He knows that if the people get the true revelation of the true church and what she is, what she stands for, and that she can do the greater works, she will be an invincible army." How many wants to be an invincible army? How about some of the time? It'd be really good to win some battles. But all the time, unstoppable, invincible, because we're more than overcomers. He is more than able in us. If they get a true revelation of the two spirits within the framework of the Christian church, and by God's Spirit discern and withstand the Antichrist spirit, Satan will be powerless before her. Praise the Lord. So we see that this is very paramount for Satan to be powerless before us, to know who we are, to be able to discern between good and evil. But that really want to touch on the identity of knowing who we are. You don't have to go there. Galatians 2:20, "I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live." This is a progression. So we're diving a little bit into progression here. Is in order for Christ to live in us, old Stephen's got to go. Right? I can't have an identity of old Stephen and new Stephen. I'm gonna stick up for one or the other, right? I'm gonna represent one or the other. I'm gonna be a monument man of God or of Stephen. I'm gonna be really proud of Stephen and all his Stephenness, just like Derek would be really proud of all everything that Derek is without Christ. But because he's been crucified with Christ, it's Christ that's living in him. It's "Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me, and the life which I now live in the flesh." Can we just say that? The identity which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. I don't mean to take away or add to, but if we can think about this, is that it's not I that liveth, but Christ. It's his identity, not mine, that is living. If we can think of it, that what we can, how do we have that progression? I'm getting ahead of myself, of identifying with Christ, of becoming him. Let's go down to the progression. And let's just to give an overview as well. You see how there's Satan has his plan and God has his plan. So Satan's plan is to bring back the false gods, to bring all that back appearing again, for him to become in plain view, because we can't find out our identity until we see who the Lord really is, right? Because we can't, it's just like we say, I really love steak. And then a couple of guys, maybe a couple of women, I identify with that. Why? Because I said something that I loved, right? So we say, yep. But if I said, I like something, someone isn't going to go, I like something too. I mean, we would, right? But we wouldn't know what we were identifying with. Can we make it simple for us? Is that if I say, I like poetry, Derek's going to stick up his hand. He likes poetry. But I said, I like tea. I like PG tips. He would say, oh, me too. He would just, it would resonate with him. Again, he would identify with two things. If I kept going, he'd say, boy, I want to be around this guy a lot. You know, he's a lot like me, right? So you can see that we, and I can say clever things at the back of the sanctuary, is that we would identify with something and say, oh, this is someone that I want to be around all the time. And so that, of course, when we're in our old flesh, when God says, you will suffer, we would say, me too, I can do that, that's great. Oh, I identify with wanting to do that. No, we have to crucify our old self and now step into what he wants for us. So it's a totally different thing. It's not the come as you are, stay as you are, and say, yeah, I want to do that. It's that we have to set our affections on everything that he is. Praise God. So, thankfully, in this dark age, Christ is coming into plain view in our lives. Satan's agenda, again, people do not know who they are, so he is giving them fake identities. I belong to this gender. I belong to this organization. I'm a Methodist. I'm a this. I'm a cat. I identify as such and such, pretending to be something they're not. Right? To try to find something, because we need identity so bad, we need to find who we are because it's so empowering. So if we can take on anything, we find this group, and we can find this, you know, that we find, just like we were saying about, you know, liking tea or poetry or things, is that we love being identified with. And so if we can find groups that are alike, that's a wonderful thing. But to think, oh my, we can identify with everything Christ is, flips the whole narrative, because it's everything that he likes and he wants and he desires. So on the Lord and his bride, the bride thinking she's not worthy and thinking about not knowing who she is perhaps, and then realizing she belongs to Christ, and she identifies with everything he is by saying yes to his character, yes to his word, she becomes everything that he is. Again, by saying yes and identifying with his word and his spirit, which is what he is, she becomes one with him. Brother Bram, I finally finished Choosing of a Bride, and how he was talking about how that when you pick a bride, you want her to reflect everything that you are, and how that when we look in the word and we say, this is what he wants, this is the marriage certificate, this is everything that he wants, I want to identify with that. It's like, I remember Mattel on Peter and Ray, how that everything that Peter liked, Ray liked, and vice versa, is that they were just, when they were dating, and they were so in love, and the same with me and Bethany, we're like, oh, I like his too. Right, why? It seems kind of silly, right? But the reason why we do this is because we are so in love, we want to like everything the other person likes, right? Is there a married people say amen? Right. There you go. That's good. And it's amazing, though, it's the wicked, though, we know that they will identify with who they are. Because they're, Romans 9, vessels of dishonor. They will identify and say, I am this. I'm going to bring Baal back into America. That's my, I know who I am. I am of the wicked one. This is, and we're seeing that now in America, coming very aggressively, where they're saying, they're trying to become an invincible army and say, we need to stomp out. I mean, this is back over a century ago. People, you know, writing a satanic book and saying, we need to stomp out this group called Christianity. Because they knew who they were. There was one man, he said, his mom called him the beast, and he says, I am the beast of Revelations. And he wrote a satanic Bible, and he wrote all this stuff, and did all these things, and identified with something that he was meant for, fitted to wrath, as the scripture says. But praise God that the bride is becoming and knowing who she is. And that's, it has to happen, because, That's God's plan for us, to know who we are. And we see how Satan, how for the people, he wants to confuse people's purpose. He wants to confuse their identity, to make them disoriented. And how that God reveals to us our purpose. How that Satan gives his spirit to make people wander and purposeless and wandering spirits, just not knowing who they are. And I remember witnessing to someone, and they were just, it's like they were the guinea pig of their own life, of just trying to refuse all truth and just to say, well, I'll try this, or I'll try that. And never really coming to any identity, just a wandering spirit, a wandering star. But we know that Christ gives us his spirit to lead his people to what? As Psalms 23 says, to lie down in green pastures, beside still waters, paths of righteousness. He restores us to himself. And the intent and the purpose is his character, is his identity to be fulfilled in each one of us. Everything that he is. His reputation to be fulfilled in you. His glory, that we may be a monument and a memorial of who he is. That when people look at us, they say, oh, I know who to call. I need to call Michelle. I know she knows how to pray. I need to call Philip. Because he knows, I know he's a Christian. I had sent out that that testimony after Brother Russ had sent out that prayer request for Leah. I was reminded of it. I don't know if you've ever heard his testimony. Brother Brian, he's from New Zealand, I believe, and he's a minister, and he was coming back, and he somehow had a collision with a overloaded construction truck that hit them head on. Their vehicle rolled, I think, 7 or 8 times, and he was in the car just talking about examples of knowing who you are, and he everything was ordered of the Lord. All the kids were out there except for one, and she asked where to sit, and he says, sit behind your mother, and that was the only safe place in the car, and all these miraculous things. And his wife was a nurse, and she, when they stopped rolling, she looked over at Brian, and his eyes were rolled back in his head, and her daughter was screaming, her 11-year-old daughter was screaming, and she just heard, just pray, and she said, Lord, what do I? He said, just pray, and she started praying, and her daughter stopped crying, and all of a sudden, Brian started bubbling blood and just gasping, and Lord brought him back to life. And the daughter stopped crying, because as the presence of the Lord came in the car, it just calmed her down and soothed her, and the Lord gave just what they needed. And as people rushed on the scene, it was like two nurses and a doctor, and his daughter got out of the car, 11 years old, said to the people just coming out of the scene, it's okay, we're Christians. And I think that's so wonderful. She identified to say, I know who we are. We're Christians. Everything is going to be okay. I think, my, she had a little revelation right there the Lord gave her, that no matter what happens, my dad is gurgling blood in the van, but he's alive. It's going to be okay. The whole, if you look at the pictures, the whole thing is just mega. Where the driver's side is, there's a 2x4 through the driver's side, and it's completely crushed, but it's okay because they're Christians. And to see God, you know, bring Brother Brian there, and he's preaching his own testimony all over the world. So we see that it's how powerful is that to speak who we are in Christ in our problems. Praise God. Just to dive in a little bit to people having an identity crisis and what that means. This is a definition of identity crisis. And why I'm talking about this is because we have people here that may not know who they are yet. And so they want to know, who am I? So what Satan wants is for all of us to have a crisis of who we are, so he can then take us down the wrong turn. So here's a definition, I think from Merriam-Webster. An identity crisis is defined as a period of uncertainty or confusion in a person's life. The crisis occurs when a person's sense of identity becomes insecure and unstable. An identity crisis usually occurs when there's a change in a person's life, but an identity crisis can happen at any time. And you think about this is, you've heard about a midlife crisis. And they've said, you know, usually crises happen because there was no plan. They just kept going autonomously on the path of life. And then they got to a certain age and they said, what am I doing? I'm already this age. I got to do something. And they get into a place of crisis where they say, I thought I was on a different course. And how that we can say, we can, and they say, this is from a psychologist, and he was saying how that we have 8 progressions of life that we go through, 8 stages. And that from 13 to 21 is really where we're talking about identity. We're finding our identity. But I think that how they've said even men don't really turn into men until they're 30, because just the way the world has gotten so soft. So we have this span of time, especially in the youth to the middle age, where people are rethinking who they are, who their identity. Why? Because what happens is if we were born not knowing who we are, and then we try that for 10, 20 years, and that doesn't work out, then we say, well, I need to become something else. And so then we take a turn, and then all of a sudden we're changing careers, we're changing this and that, right? To take on something, and you can say, what in the world are people doing? And a lot of times you'll see people take a turn for the worse. I remember someone saying, you know, we can take something bad that happened and turn it into a tragedy just because of our own good ideas. But praise God that the Lord has given us a plan and intent for our life. As we know, the scripture says, he has a plan for us, Isaiah 29:11. So we see that it happens, to recap again, people are born not knowing who they are. They try to make a life for themselves by latching onto either parental or other influences and identities and their values. And if it's not built upon the rock, what do? Those identities fail them. Those parental guidance fails them. And then they have to start over again. I've seen this, I'm sure you have in many people in your life where you're like, I can see it was parents. They didn't have good parents. So now they just went off everything their parents said and it didn't work. It failed them. And so now they say, I have to take on another identity. So we can't minimize this, especially in this age when everybody is changing everything they can to try to find who they are. But we know that in this chaos, that people come to that crossroad, that's when they can find out who they are. So for us to be able to come to that, Lord, put us in the crossroads of other people's lives when they don't know who they are. I'll give you an example, and I've given this one before. A guy I know named Steve-O up in Anoka, he had a real experience with the Lord, and he was sitting in a coffee shop one time, and the Lord said, go talk to that man. And he says, I don't want to talk to him. He doesn't know me. Go talk to him. And this man was at a crossroads. And so he said, hey, could I talk to you outside for a minute? And he said, sure. And he said, the Lord wants me to ask you, what's going on in your life? And the guy says, he just starts spilling his guts and he says, I don't know what my life is about. He says, I don't know if I'm gay or I'm straight or if I'm Buddhist or if I'm Muslim or anything, and religious, everything. And he says, I don't know anything. I'm just messed up. And so what did the man do? Did he try to get him the high things of God? All he did was just share his testimony. He says, well, can I tell you what the Lord's done for me? And he said, sure. And he just shared his testimony about how the Lord gave him a new life, a new identity, a new purpose, and a life more abundantly by his grace. And he said, can I pray that the Lord will do that for you too? He said, yeah. And now he's a full-fledged, wonderful, God-serving Christian just because of someone just saying, I'll go talk to that person. I'll share my testimony and ask them if they want that too. So simple. And he says, Steve-O prays every day for 3 things. He says, Lord, put people in my life Lord, make it easy and make it fun. And he just has all these things. And of course, we know that the Lord wants more than that. But yet, how wonderful that when someone is on the crossroads of an identity crisis, that we can show them who their true identity really is in. The word perversion means to alter something from its original course, meaning, or state, to a distortion or corruption of what was first intended. I'm going to read that one more time. Just to think how Satan wants to pervert each one of our ways when God had a beginning intent for us. Alter something from its original course, meaning, or state, to a distortion or corruption of what was first intended. And then it's another, the second definition is a person whose sexual behavior is regarded as abnormal or unacceptable. Even Freud had concluded that all humans are innately perverse, are perverted. And in the scriptural sense, we all come into this world is, to paraphrase the scripture, come to this world shaped in iniquity, speaking lies, how that the heart is desperately wicked. And that's why we read Isaiah 61, is the Spirit of the Lord has to come into that desperately wicked heart to fill it with everything that's his identity, because otherwise we'll just go straight to that altered from the original course and a distorted and a corrupted way. Praise God. What are some examples we see in Scripture of the right progression? I'm gonna give you one while you can think of one as well. One of my favorites is Gideon, and you see how he didn't know who he was. He knew like some of his tasks and things like that. He didn't know that he was going to be shouting one day, "The sword of the Lord and of Gideon," as 300 men against, 56,000 Amalekites. That he didn't know that. And yet, what did the angel of the Lord say to him? "Oh, mighty man of valor." He gave him his identity. What a wonderful thing. He could say, and he's just looking around, "Huh? What? What, me? No, you don't know me. You don't know my family. Like, we're all scaredy cats," or whatever it was. Maybe they had, knowing that God does the impossible, as Derek had preached that sermon, the almost impossible. That we know that God takes the most unlikely to show his glory, right? And so we see he spoke that over him. He called that over him. And he started the process with him. And we see that process is that he called him of what his identity was, whether he saw it or not. And then he started him through the process. And we see this, through Brother Branham and many others. What did he have to first do? Is dismantle everything old. Is tear down the altars of your father. Tear down your family idols. Tear down the old family thinking. Begin anew in obedience. Just follow me in obedience. To shave off the excess flesh so God gets all the glory. Get rid of all the extra, everything that you can do, all your abilities, all the multitude of men, to get it down to 300 people. And then to have a supernatural victory as an invincible army. To think that at that point when he said, I was thinking about this, he said, whose sword was in his hand? The sword of the Lord. But he also said, the Lord told him to say, and of Gideon. It's the same sword, but its identity was in that it was the sword of the Lord. So just like Brother Branham had the sword of the Lord in his hand. And what does it say in the scripture? The word of God is nigh you, even in your mouth. It's the word of the Lord in your mouth. It's you're identifying with him speaking through you. If Brother Greg said something the Lord told him to say, would we say, well, the Lord said it? We know we'd say, Brother Greg said it. but it would be the same as if the Lord is saying it, because he's identifying with Brother Greg and saying, you do this. Another good example. I hope I get the chance to let you guys think of an example. But I just have to say this, is remember in Josh, or in the scriptures where Moses said, who's on the Lord's side? And as in Exodus 32, he says, who is on the Lord's side? And what it was the Levites that gathered themselves to him. And then let's just go to there. This is so good. Just thinking about just identity is just so wonderful in here. Praise God. At 32 and then 26. Because we know that all these, he'd come down from the mount and they were dancing and everything that they were doing wrong against the Lord. And and then Moses stood in the gate of the camp, verse 26, and said, who is on the Lord's side? And it's interesting because if you look in the actual Hebrew and you follow it through, it's saying, who is of the Lord? Who is of Jehovah? Gather to me. Who is of Jehovah? Who identifies with Jehovah? Come here. Not who identifies with the world that they're in. Who is of Jehovah? Who is on the Lord's side? Let him come unto me. And all the sons of Levi gathered themselves unto him. And he said unto them, thus saith the Lord God of Israel, put every man his sword by his side, and go in and out from gate to gate throughout the camp, and slay every man his brother, and every man his companion, and every man his neighbor. And the children of the Lord did according to the word of Moses, and there fell of the people that day about 3,000 men. So we see that what sword was in their hand? That was the sword of the Lord executing judgment. They identified, I am of Jehovah. Jehovah spoke, they did. It was simple as that. They acted in that position. It's so wonderful to see this, that when we identify, when it's who's on the Lord's side, I am. Just like we all know the scripture in Joshua, choose ye this day whom you will serve. I am of Jehovah. I'm not of this world. It is written of me. That when I look in the scripture, I see a mirror. This is because I see the word in me. It is written of me. It is written of you, each one of you. And we stand there, and then God speaks, and we do his bidding. And it is the same as him doing it. It's his identity being shown and being manifest. That's manifesting time right there in a small way. Any examples, starting with Derek, of identity, people knowing who they were? Explain. That's right. That's wonderful. That's right. Exactly. Anyone else? Right. So the Ethiopian said, when he said to baptize me with his water, what doth hinder? And he just acted upon the word. He just exactly obeyed the word. Just simply like, this is what I want to identify with. That's right. Brother Greg. That's right. That's right. That's right. He knew who he was, and he just wasn't ashamed. And that's what's wonderful, is that it brings that confidence, is to say, in the face of the critic, this is who I am. I know my position. Jesse, do you have your hand up back there? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That's right. It reminds me of what you were saying the other day, Brother Don, about how our life is, how did you say it, just unexplainable. Of just like, what are you doing, Abraham? Like, well, we're gonna have a promised son. We're gonna have millions of children and grandchildren. And you say, wait, how old are you? And they think, well, see, there's the, here, we'll show you the boot. You want to see the booties? And you say, these people are wacko. But they knew who they were. They knew they were called and chosen. And he knew he was going to be a father of many nations. Who else? Anybody else? Jacob. In one instance. Elaborate. That's right. Yes. Because he knew. And I'm sure his mother told him. He knew who he was. Jacob. That's right. That he did, was willing to do anything to get that birthright because he knew who he was. And there's something so powerful that I'm just starting to understand this. I'm a late bloomer. I'm sure you guys are way far ahead of me. But just to, praise God. There's two of us at least. Oh, it's so something so wonderful. If you don't understand what it means of identification, just in getting ready to close, and musicians, you can come, is to say, if we can each one of us pray every day, Lord, show me more of who you are and show me more of who I am. Lord, show me who I am. And you think about this, is just like we were talking about PG tips and poetry, is that's a part of who God made Derek, even in the flesh, is that something that he loves. And you think about just all these different things, is that God made you a certain way. God made Brother Branham to cry when he couldn't hit that bullseye because he had a specific purpose for that. He made Eric Little to say, God gave me a purpose, but when I run, I feel God's pleasure. He made me fast. He didn't say, oh, it's so carnal of me to think about running. Shame on me. God wants me to preach only, and that's all I have to do. No, but he brought glory to God. He was a monument of God because of he stood for not running on Sunday. He stood for these different things, and God made him fast, and he felt the Lord's pleasure when he ran. That was part of who God made him to be. Praise God. Praise the Lord. We see this again with Jesus, how that he said, this day, this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing. My, what a man, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, to be there to say, he is Isaiah 61. Praise God, so wonderful. He says, that's fulfilled. I am the Spirit of the Lord. You're looking at it. This is fulfilled. It's time for each one of us to say that. When they say, this day, this scripture is fulfilled for us. We are the bride of Christ. This is who we are. When it says something about the bride of Christ, the Spirit and the bride to come, that's you. You're reading about yourself. Praise God. For us to identify with that. Praise God. Wonderful. As we go to prayer, can we just pray or sing, just play that quietly? Who I am, Lord. Who I am. Let's just bow our heads tonight. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord. Lord, that you have for each one of us to know who we are. Lord, and it seems tricky, Lord, sometimes, because we've heard this all of our lives, Lord. We've grown up in church, Lord, and we've heard so many phrases, Lord, and the word has to be quickened, Lord, has to be revealed in its season, Lord, and we just rest in that, Lord. Lord, we just ask and that you would give each one here, Lord, to know exactly who they are in Christ, Lord, as the bride of Christ, and also each specific purpose in the body of Christ, which we didn't even get into, Lord. each one of us has that purpose, Lord, to be confident, Lord, to say, this is what I am supposed to be doing. Just so beautiful to see each one take their place in the body, Lord, and say, this is what I'm supposed to be doing. Josh saying, I'm a Sunday school teacher. And for Linnell saying, I'm a Sunday school teacher as well. Just each one of us, Debbie and all these different saints, Lord, saying, this is what God wants me to be doing here on earth. Lord, we want to be driven in our identity and our purpose that you have for us, Lord. May, Lord, we know, Lord, and we're confident, Lord, you who began that good work in us will complete it, Lord. So we rest in that, Lord. We commit each one into your hands now, Lord, and that identification, Lord, of who each one of us is in you, in the precious name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. We just sing that song. It is number 591, in the Only Believe. And let's all stand. Glorious victory, that day he set me free and made my heart his very throne. My life is no longer mine, I'm a prisoner of love divine, and now I live to praise his name. Because why? It's who I am, Lord. It's who I am. I can see now just who I am. What am I? I'm a part of my Savior, a part of his word. It's a revelation of who I am. Do you believe it, saints of God? It's a wonderful power that we have in us. It's that Isaiah 61, Luke 4, being of his presence in each one of us. All his character, everything manifested through us for every situation. And that's why Billy Paul could say of his dad that he knew what to do in every situation. Why? Because he knew who he was. He knew exactly who he was, and he was leaning on the Lord, and he wouldn't speak unless God told him to. Confident in who God made him. Praise God. Brother Jesse, would you close us in a word of prayer? Thank you, Lord. I hope this is a blessing to you tonight. Praise God.
Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we just so appreciate you tonight, Lord, and these things that you're doing, Lord, to see your spirit brooding amongst us and these messages coming forth, Lord, seeing just, I think, a harmony. It's you, Lord. It's you working in us and, Lord, raising up our faith, Lord, showing us who we are in you. Lord, truly, it's grace, Lord. It's amazing. We love you, Lord, and we just ask, Lord, that you would be glorified and lifted up in every heart, Lord. Thank you for these things. Thank you for Brother Stephen. We just ask that you would bless him and protect him as he's driving back home tonight. And each one, Lord, just keep us safe on the road. And, Lord, may you, by your Holy Spirit, just continue to resonate these things in our heart and keep us feeding and resting and just enjoying you, Lord. We just love you and bless your name, give you thanks, and ask this all now in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Praise God. Let's just do that last verse as we dismissed. Amen. God bless each one of you. Oh, Calvary, he died to redeem his lost bride, the King of Kings. Became my Savior. This is God's great mystery of love expressed to me, that Christ and I might be made one. Oh, who I am, Lord, it's who
now just who I am, a part of my Savior, a part of His Word. It's a revelation, just who I am. It's who I am, oh, who I am, Lord, who I am. I can see now just who I am. I'm a part of my Savior, a part of His Word.